This is Jessica Schifano for the Lowell Center for Sustainable Production. We're just waiting a few more minutes for people to get signed in and get on the phone, but we're just about ready to begin. So I'll give people a couple more minutes, and then we will start with a presentation. At this point, if anyone is having any technical difficulties, either with the web portion of it or the phone portion of it, feel free to speak up now and we can troubleshoot that before we begin the presentation.
Dave Wong. Hello?
Hi, Dave. We're just waiting momentarily for others to join, but we'll begin soon.
Okay.
Hi, this is Laura from Michigan.
Hi, Laura. This is Terry.
Oh, hi, Terry.
You know that I'm here.
Eric Harrington.
Okay, it's a little after 2, so I'm going to get started with the understanding that people will probably be joining for the next 5 to 10 minutes. So this is our second GC3 webinar. We held our first one a few months ago talking about Green Steel. This was an idea that came out of the last GC3 roundtable to really increase the learning potential for the GC3 participants all year round and not just at the roundtable. We will be holding our next webinar in March, and the topic has yet to be determined. So if you have any suggestions or would like to present at one of the webinars, feel free to contact me, Jessica Schifano, at the Lowell Center for Sustainable Production. Another GC3 related item is that our next and fifth annual GC3 roundtable will be held April 26th through 28th in Houston, Texas, and hope many of you will be able to join us there. Just a quick word about the functionality of the webinar software. You can see the list of participants on the left side of your screen. You can see a chat function on the right side of your screen. Feel free to post any questions you have during the presentation in the chat box, and I will facilitate that during the presentation and bring those questions to the presenters either during or following their presentation. If there are any other questions and technical difficulties that happen during the presentation, if you still have access to the chat function, you can do that, and I will try to handle those problems as they arise. So without any further ado, we'll move to our webinar topic for today. It is titled An Introduction to the Energy and Materials Flow and Cost Tracker Software Tool. Forward-thinking firms consistently face the challenge of identifying and evaluating opportunities to implement pollution prevention, green chemistry, and design for the environment solutions in their businesses. These firms also face the challenge of tracking supply chain flows to comply with new regulatory requirements such as REACH and ROSE. Tools are needed to help these firms meet these challenges. One tool that may help in this regard is the Energy and Materials Flow and Cost Tracker Software Tool. MFACT, created through the joint efforts of the Northeast Waste Management Officials Association, NMOA, and the Massachusetts Office of Technical Assistance. So today we have Terry Goldberg from NMOA and Rick Riebstein from Massachusetts OTA to provide an introduction to the MFACT software tool and demonstrate some of its features and functions. So Terry, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you, Jessica. My name is Terry Goldberg, and I'm with the Northeast Waste Management Officials Association, NMOA, and I'm going to present this afternoon sort of a basic overview of this MFAC tool for all of you. We also have on the phone, in addition to myself and Rick, the contractor who developed this software tool, Betsy Cottle, and she'll make sure that I don't make any major gaffes or mistakes in my presentation, and she can answer any really deep technical questions that you might have. Let me just make sure everybody is looking at the right slide, and everybody should have on your screens MFAC introduction. Anybody not able to see this slide at this point? That's great.
Sorry, this is one person.
Okay, so you're still logging in?
No, I'm already logged in. I can see the text. I can see who the participants are, and I can see the chat list, but I don't see any slides.
I don't know, Jessica, if you want to help with this. I can't.
I'm sorry, what seems to be the problem? Are you...
Well, I can see the list of participants on the left.
Yes.
I can see the public chats on the right.
Yes.
But the screen in the middle is blank.
Oh, it's blank. It should be Terry's presentation, so I'm not exactly sure. Maybe try signing out of it and back in again.
Okay.
Would be the first thing. Okay.
All right,
thank
you.
Sorry to interrupt, Terry.
Great. Okay, I guess if anybody's having a similar problem, you should try the same advice. To kick this off, I'm going to ask Rick to give a few minutes of introduction to sort of set some of the background and context for MFACT, and then I'm going to get into what MFACT really does and looks like, and help. And I'm going to try to get into an example today. As I go through my slides, if someone has a burning question, either you can use the chat feature that Jessica mentioned, or if it's a real clarification question, if you can ask your question, and I'll try to address it as I go along. We only have an hour today, and I did want to get through some of this example as much as we can, but I do want to address people's questions. So that's kind of the format, I think, that we have for today. Rick, do you want to say a few words to sort of give some background on the development of this tool?
Yes, thank you, Terry. This is Rick Riepstein from the Massachusetts Office of Technical Assistance. We're a state organization that helps companies making site visits. We're confidential. We help them to do toxic use reduction. We've done that for years, and recently we've expanded to energy and water and solid waste, all resource use. We've been doing this since the late 80s, and we've been working with NUMOA on many projects. And what you see before you, the software, MFACT, should be seen as an outgrowth of joint work that our two offices have been doing together for years. In the early 1990s, we did trainings on financial analysis of pollution prevention opportunities, and MFACT is directly related to that work that we did so long ago. And I'm not going to explain what NUMOA is, except to say that they have helped our organization pair up and do collaborative work with other organizations with interests similar to ours in waste reduction and resource use efficiency. So this is, again, just another event in a long series of similar events. What sparked this creation, the desire to create this software, was our recognition that as we worked with companies, and we used to have, by the way, about 25 engineers who went out in the field. We're much lower staffed than that now, but we still do the same thing. We visit companies, we look at their materials, energy, water, all of that use, and we look for opportunities to use less and to use safer chemicals. What we found in doing this in hundreds of companies, probably thousands at this point, is that, yes, it is definitely thousands, is that a lot of opportunities and losses were not visible to managers. And that's very understandable. You get very focused on a process that's working. You're not as focused on a process that could be. If you can do, again, the same actions that got your company profit, why should you change it? On the other hand, if someone can show you that you're leaking profits because of unnecessary waste or an opportunity that you should be taking, then maybe you're going to be apt to break out of your habits and do something different. And that's the point of MFACT. It's like a lens to find unnecessary waste and opportunity costs. So OTA had developed some crude tracking software. We still have one that's DOS-based. So, of course, that needs updating. And we approached NUMOA with the thought of getting some funding to update it and develop these tools. And amazingly, NUMOA won money from EPA, and we embarked on a lot of outreach and talking to people to find out, you know, how we should make this tool. But we came up with something that has, the way I see it, essentially three aims. The first is that it will help you focus on the efficiency of use to reduce unnecessary input and waste, and I'm sure that I don't need to spend a lot of time on this with this crowd. But what I do want to say is it gives you, you know, besides focusing your attention, it shows you trends over time, gives it a cumulative reading, you can see the long-term impact, it gives you a macro-scale picture with trends and spikes and totals, all these things that could have significant consequences and yet be invisible to you in the day-to-day. Can also let you drill down to the production unit level. And that's something we took from the Mass Toxics Use Reduction Act law, which requires companies that are large quantity toxic users to do TUR planning, to look at their chemical use, and it requires them to do that on the production unit basis, because looking at the process step is really where you're going to find where the specific losses or the opportunities to use materials more efficiently are. So that's the first one. Waste is an indicator of operating inefficiency. And secondly, it's designed to give you, part of that is also to give you a mass balance so that you can look at what comes in and what goes out and compare them, what some people have called industrial metabolism. And second aim of MFAT is to track costs that are caused by the use of the chemicals or the misuse of the chemicals. And, for example, again, I don't think I need to discuss this with this crowd in at any length, but just to be clear, if you see your EHS department costs are going up, you don't blame it on the EHS department. You look for the cause. The real cause is in the decision to use that particular chemical, whose disposal and management costs have probably been slowly creeping up over the years as we recognize more completely its risks and do something about it. And at some point, they probably pass the point where it makes sense to keep using the chemical. Well, MFACT is a tool to note those costs connected to using the resource and understand them in terms of total impact and cause. And we want to pay attention to them earlier so that it's part of our original decision making. And this is the third aim of MFACT, to use that full cost information and that information from tracking to better compare what you're doing now with greener alternatives. Those greener alternatives may not be getting a fair shake when you compare them because everything is militating towards continuing to do what you've been doing. You're used to it. You've vetted everything. It works. Leave it alone. So there's a prejudice against the alternative. So you really need to get this full picture and see what the full costs are, all the management costs that might go away, all the disposal costs, all the risks, all the potentials, all the accident planning, prevention, all of that can go away if you switch to a safer alternative, and you need to make all of that visible. So that's the third reason why we tried to create the tool that we've created. We did see some fine tools out there in our research. None were free like ours. So that's one major thing. We're trying to give this to the world so that we can get more of this activity done, more of this kind of analysis in each facility. But I want to make clear that a lot of tools that we saw were life cycle management tools that really looked at what happens outside of a facility, such as your carbon footprint and the kinds of energy you're using and the product stewardship issues. MFACT is not that. You could use it that way if you were very creative and came up with proxies, but MFACT is designed to be an in-facility-based tool to look at what's happening in the facility and help you with production. So again, it's to achieve resource use efficiency, to help you track your costs associated with toxic or problematic resources so you can know what your true costs are and so you can make good decisions about alternative inputs. I just want to say that with limited money and gratitude to EPA and tremendous appreciation for our contractors who did an amazing job, we believe we have gotten the development of this tool off the ground. We feel we have laid the foundation for what we envision. This is a way of saying that MFACT is not perfect the way it is now. We consider what we have phase one, and we've built something that is very versatile. You can track virtually everything, or you can track one thing, and you can track it across your facility, get to mass balance input and output, or you can just track some aspects of what you're doing. It sometimes can be very overwhelming to learn how to use MFACT because it is so infinitely capable. It's so expandable. But what we were doing, the reason why we did that, is because we wanted to lay the foundation. There are other things we would love to have been able to do at this phase. We would have loved to put in process mapping. We would have loved to have had very visual graphs that it would produce. We would love to make it easy so you could do the comparison of alternatives. We haven't given it the ability to quickly give you a net present value, which was part of our original idea. There's a lot of things we wanted to do with this. We think that we have created the first phase of something that can do of all of those things. What we need now is for people to be interested in this and start using it and work with us on developing it further.
Okay, thanks, Rick. I'm hoping that all of you by now are able to view the slide. I'm not viewing the chat feature or any of those things, Jessica, so hopefully you can keep me posted if there's a question or a problem that anyone's having.
I will do that.
Okay, so I'm going to start the slide presentation now, but thanks a lot, Rick. That's a good overview, introduction to what we're trying to do with MFACT. I'm going to talk a little bit about how MFACT relates to green chemistry, which is the interest of this group. I'm going to talk about what MFACT is. I'm going to go over some examples of reports that MFACT can produce, and hopefully I'll have time to begin to show you an example that we've created, a fictitious spray booth example of using MFACT that will highlight some of the features and navigation of MFACT to give you a bit of a feeling for it. So that's what I'm going to try to cover in the next 40 or so minutes. So as you've heard, MFACT is an acronym for Energy and Materials Flow and Cost Tracker, and it is a free software tool, and it's the result of this collaboration that Rick described. But this is the URL where you can find MFACT, and I will show you the website in later on in this presentation where you can download the tool from. So what's the connection between MFACT and green chemistry and materials accounting? Rick sort of began to get into this, but really, as you know, what green chemistry is really developing safer chemicals and products that reduce non-product and product output, or non-product output, I'm sorry, and really maximize the efficient use of all resources. And all of you are involved in various supply chains where you're seeing greater and greater pressure for reducing toxicity of products and materials, and this is getting a tremendous amount of public attention. I know all of you are involved in all of these issues. Many of you may or may not be aware of a field of study that's been growing around the world called environmental management accounting, which is really an endeavor to begin to enable companies to track materials use, to understand how it relates to financial accounting, to do a much better job of really understanding all the various sort of accounting aspects of environmental management. And as Rick mentioned, when we started this project, we were aware that there are software tools available. Many of them are relatively expensive. But there's really nothing available that's really targeting towards the small and medium-sized firms that really can help companies get at the goals of environmental management accounting, which we think relate directly to the goals of green chemistry. And hopefully through this demonstration today, you'll begin to see, hopefully see some of those connections. We have developed now MFACT. It's available for download from the web, and it's to be downloaded for use internally and within companies. We are doing a lot of training at this point. It has user support information, and we're doing a lot of training workshops and are eager to find additional opportunities to do more training workshops. So that's one thing that I'd be interested in toward the end of this webinar, to hear from any of you whether you have any opportunities for us to do on-site, in-person training workshops to really teach people how to use MFACT beyond what we're able to sort of introduce you to today. This is the team that has been involved in development of MFACT. We've already gone over this. I do want to mention the funding from EPA came from a program in EPA's Office of Research and Development called Collaborative Science and Technology for Sustainability, and they provided the funding for this current phase of MFACT development. We developed in this phase really MFACT to help users understand and analyze the materials, and by that we include all chemicals, water, and fuels that they're using in one or more of their facilities. It can help track fuel use, because it treats fuel just like any other material input, and it would treat a heating system or the way any other process at a facility. It's not designed at this point to enable users to track electricity, however. So that's another feature that we'd be interested in sort of understanding more, whether users would like that, given that there are a lot of tools out there for helping companies track electricity. But it's something that we're interested in exploring as we go forward with other phases of MFACT development. Hopefully you can see the slide 8 now. I wanted to sort of put up this slide to show you the concepts that we used in designing MFACT. We designed the tool so that a facility would take MFACT and really set it up so that their facility, all of their facility-specific information and the sort of the structure of the facility would be set up, including the chemicals that are brought into the facility, the products, and then the chemicals in those products that are used at the facility, what equipment, production unit, air emissions, wastewater discharges, inventory the facility has. So MFACT in the first part needs to be set up so that it reflects what's going on at the individual facilities that users are using it to look at. And then once it's been set up, you have all of your inputs. You have your materials that you're purchasing. You have data on those materials. You can convert however you're purchasing the materials in barrels and gallons and whatever the format is that you're purchasing those materials. MFACT enables you to convert those to a consistent unit of measure in pounds, and then you look at your material use over time. Then it's able to link that to non-product output, and by that we mean waste that are generated, wastewaters, air emissions, all the non-product outputs that come from a facility, both hazardous and non-hazardous, and then the product outputs and what's going into the product. So you're producing a variety of products. What are the materials and chemicals that are going into those products? And it enables you then to generate reports based on all this data input. And I'm going to show you now a few of the reports. In a minute, I'm going to show you some examples of reports. And that's the basic concept that we started out to design MFACT under. So in order to do this, we developed this procedure flow so that the user would understand sort of the procedures they need to go through in order to use MFACT effectively. And so each of these stages really is a stage that a user needs to sort of understand and go through in order to use MFACT. So there's obviously installing MFACT, setting it up, creating a variety of administrative functions, defining the various materials that you're using. At this stage, it seems to me one of the things that it's important for a user to think about is how you want to use this tool. As Rick said, you can use it to understand everything going on in a facility or what's happening with one piece of equipment, what materials are going in and out of that piece of equipment. So it can be used in a very simple, sort of streamlined way or in a much more complex way. It has that flexibility into it. But as you begin to define your materials use and equipment, those are some of the issues you need to really think about ahead of time. Excuse me. You need to think about all the outputs that come from the production or the equipment, the production unit or the equipment that you're trying to track. You can define all the regulations related to particularly all these outputs. If you have permits, you might highlight chemicals of concern. You can track a lot of information about individual permits, say wastewater discharge permits or air permits, those kinds of things.
And one quick question that popped up in the chat is what limits exist as to the number of materials or cast numbers, departments, equipment that you can enter into this?
Actually, MFAC comes pre-populated with several thousand cast numbers, and the tool is designed to run on a version of Oracle that's a downloadable free version of Oracle. It has a very robust capability. Betsy, I don't know if you want to indicate any of the limits.
There's no limit because it's running on a nice Oracle database. You really can have thousands and thousands of records without any issues. So it's very, very capable of handling lots of data.
I was just going to, this is Rick, I was just going to send a response back by the chat mail, which we can maybe wait a little bit when questions pop up and Terry can keep talking. If I haven't answered by chat, then maybe you could interrupt her.
Okay, well, that's a good question, though. So let me just say, once you've defined all of what's going on in your facility, you need to sort of begin to connect them to production units and products. And so once all this setup and definition is in place, then you can begin to enter inputs and outputs and then run reports. And the MFAC also has a function of reminders. So if you want to know when your permits are coming due or when various reports are due, you can create this calendaring function to set up reminders for users to remember that whatever the event is, they need to take some action. So this is the basic procedure flow for MFAC. This is what the dashboard looks like. Hopefully you can see this dashboard. And if you remember the procedure flow, essentially the dashboard is organized along the same sort of trajectory. And once we get into MFAC, you'll see a little bit about the navigation, but you can use, these are all buttons, so you can navigate MFAC using these buttons, but you can also navigate MFAC using the various functions at the top of the page, which personally I find once you're getting to know MFAC is a much easier way to navigate through MFAC. So when we start looking at the tool live, you'll see these are typical sort of Windows type flyouts, so you can navigate pretty quickly through the tool using those functions. So that's what the dashboard looks like. So I said, I think it's sort of sometimes useful for me to think about, well, what do you get out of MFAC so that it seems like it's worthwhile to do all of the data input and setup that's needed to get it to function properly for a user. The MFAC does enable folks, the users, to manage lists of their equipment and materials and chemicals that they're using. As I think we mentioned, it comes pre-populated with numerous lists. These are federal regulatory lists, such as the RCRA list or the TRI list, and it contains thousands of pre-populated cast numbers. It enables the user, if you have state regulatory lists that are different from the federal regulatory lists, you can add those lists of chemicals. You can add cast numbers for other chemicals that are not pre-populated in MFAC. It comes with 21 boilerplate reports, again, to enable the users to track their products, air, water, and waste on various levels. Users can use filters that are built into the tool to create the various report parameters that you can find from the reports, and we'll see a little of that, hopefully. It contains search windows so that you can search and get a body of data, and that could be then exported to Excel or printed out as a separate report. And if you go to the Use the Help menu, you can see more information on the various reports that MFAX is designed to generate. So you can generate reports that show you the materials and chemicals that a company has purchased or used, and the non-product output from the chemical use. You can, again, get reports based on equipment or production unit or facility, and you can see some of the associated costs. You can look at materials going into product versus non-product output, and you can do 12-month rolling averages for air emissions. You can look at water pollution outputs, waste activity reports, and you can group those by various waste types, and you can get some data on costs associated with all these different reports. Here's an example of a material usage report. Again, this is did somebody say something? Okay. This is, again, totally fictitious dummy data, so just ignore the numbers for the moment. But this is, you know, one sample of the kind of report you can get of a material use. The top of the screen, you can see the kind of data filters available, so you can produce a report from a certain date framework. You can include data from various levels of equipment. And this is based on looking at a report for a particular cast number and particular materials. So you can look at usage in pounds, usage in pounds, other data that you can store in MFAX about this particular material, fictitious material at this fictitious facility. Here's an example of a waste management report, again, showing both waste generation and activity costs. So you can, again, you can filter and create these reports using various parameters. In this case, we have a non-hazardous waste and a hazardous waste, so you can see that you can tag the various wastes. You can look for shipment for disposal. You can shipment for recycling, and in this case, recycling is considered, is a negative here because you're not shipping it for disposal, and you are in this example, this particular mock-up, you're actually recouping some money for the recycling. So another example of a report is for air emissions. In this case, we're looking at a pollutant total suspended particulates. Total emissions, hours usage, and then total emissions over the 12-month rolling period. So this gives you a lot of robust data to use on looking at air emissions. And again, you can use filters to look at this at various levels, various periods of times, levels of detail, depending on whether you're interested in looking at a production unit or equipment. Rick mentioned that MFAX was designed to provide mass balance reports. I assume I don't need to necessarily define what that means for this group, but it's really a report that shows you what all the inputs are to, say, a production unit and what's going out in various forms of non-product output and product output. As we designed this tool, these are complicated reports to generate because you've got to create everything in the same units in order to prepare a mass balance report. So you've got to convert, gallons of a fluid into pounds in order to really generate these kind of mass balance reports. So MFAX is really designed to help make sure that the user is keeping units consistent and conversions are made so that you can create these kind of reports. Here's an example of one mass balance report. Again, this is totally fictitious data, but you've got your material inputs. In this case, we're looking at some paints. You've got, so you're purchasing some paints. You're creating some product outputs. So you've got your various product lines here, and you've got parts that you're painting, and so you've got your product output. You've got your air emissions and pounds. Again, these numbers are entirely fictitious. I don't think you'd have this much NOx or SOx from this kind of an operation. Or maybe you would. I don't know. Anyway, these are not real numbers. You've also got your outputs in terms of wastewater discharge and particular constituents in your wastewater discharge, and then again your waste outputs, both solid and hazardous waste outputs from this particular example in this fictitious facility. I think we mentioned that MFAC does incorporate lists of regulated chemicals. These are the lists that we've incorporated, the SARA 313 TRI list, hazardous air pollutants, ozone-depleting substances. I think it does include the RCRA waste list as well, and it has a reminder and a calendaring function. And as I mentioned earlier, you can add your own list. There's this reminder function. This is what it looks like. So you've got, again, you can put in data for MFAC to track various permits, and, you know, you can tag it so that it will flash various reminders so that you, as a user, can remember when you need to start working on, say, this permit renewal or whatever the action is that you need to be taking. This is sort of a detailed show of what a particular reminder event looks like. So if you clicked on one of the events in the earlier screen, you could get these details. One of the things that I'll mention is that in various places, in many places throughout MFAC, the user can tag, say, a file name so that that's on their, say, their desktop or their computer, so that they could go find, say, for example, a permit, a file, or whatever report or action they're trying to take, and you can quickly go and find that simply from MFAC. It does include, say, some open fields, say, a descriptive field in this case, some description of this event. On many places in MFAC, there is open fields, comment fields for users to use for various information they might want to note about some aspect of whatever the function is they're working on. Just to give you a little bit more of sort of a feel of how MFAC as a software application works, it does have help function. This help function is you can get access to. And basically through the help function, you can get all the documentation available for MFAC. We do have a user's manual, which is a separate document, which you can certainly access online. But the tool comes with the user documentation built in, which you can access through the help function. It also has these cue cards. We sort of wanted to develop an easier sort of in to using MFAC for new users, and these cue cards help you go through a logical series of tasks associated with various MFAC windows. So if you click on one of these dashboard buttons, you'll get these cue cards, and it sort of walks you through some of these functions to begin to get comfortable with and use MFAC initially. Similarly, for sort of we have basic and advanced user levels built into MFAC, and on almost all the pages, you'll see a little button at the bottom that says Enable Advanced Fields. If this is not checked, then various fields, like the ones shown here, will be grayed out. Once you enable the advanced fields, then you can access those fields. So again, we're trying to sort of make it sort of easy for certain basic users to get more comfortable with MFAC, and at that point, when they're more comfortable with how MFAC works, they may be more interested in enabling a lot more of the advanced features. Throughout the tool, also on various fields, in this case, the material ID field, There are these little binoculars that you'll see, and this enables you to search for under search criteria and say search for materials in this particular example to pull up materials. So there's, again, you know, once if a user puts in a lot of information into you know, a number of materials, this would make it easier for them to search for the particular material they're looking at, looking for whenever they're using the tool. We've already mentioned that it's programmed in Oracle. If the user has Oracle already running on their computer, they don't need to reinstall Oracle, and there is instructions and explanations online for downloading and installing MFACT. We do have training materials available on the web, and those are available at this URL. I'm going to try to show you that in a minute, how to get to that URL or what the URL looks like, or the website looks like. We are very interested in partnering either with individual companies or groups in various states to conduct training workshops around the U.S., and we have funding to support our involvement and the contractors' involvement in providing training. So we'd be very interested in if any of the GC3 members or others on the phone would be interested in partnering to offer workshops. We are developing some e-learning support for MFACT to have online, and that's something underway right now. So here's the contact information and how you can find MFACT. I'm going to now end this slideshow, pause here for a minute, and as I begin to pull up MFACT, I'm going to see if are there any questions or clarifications folks would like right now?
Yeah, I'd like to know what are the computer requirements, you know, when space-wise for downloading all this information. Seems like there's quite a bit.
Do you want to address that, Betsy?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it is in the installation document. There is a listing. It's kind of standard stuff for a PC. It needs to be a reasonably new PC with some space on the C drive, because yes, you are running it on your C drive. It is in the installation document, so you can get the particulars if you go to the website, or okay, we can have Terry send it to you.
And we should note that if you are on a network, that C drive introduces, you better have a good relationship with your administrator.
Yeah, it was designed to be used at a small or medium-sized company, the theory being that you didn't already have Oracle, you weren't part of a big network. If you do already have Oracle and are part of a big network, it's still possible, but we've worked with a lot of people that work in very restrictive environments, and we've had to do some fancy footwork to try to get it to download. So we can help you try to work with your IT department to make it work, but, you know, depending on how restrictive your environment is, you may not be allowed to download anything.
This current version is best used on an individual.
Correct.
What I'm showing you now, hopefully all of you can see this, is the web page for downloading MFACT, and you can see here I'm highlighting the installation guide, and that's what Betsy was referring to, as having the information about how to download MFACT and what the system requirements are. But you can also see the other support information here. There's the user guide, again, information on setup for existing Oracle installations, guidance on installing it in that environment. We have a data dictionary, the paint line production unit example that I'm going to show you a little bit of today is fully developed as a case study right up. The procedure flow, which I've shown you, the report guide. This is a guide to generating reports, a list of all the drop-down menus so that someone can really manage drop-down lists if they become a fairly sophisticated MFACT user, and then the mass balance report data sources so that folks can understand what's behind the mass balance report. So those are some of the support materials that we've got online for MFACT users. So this is actually, again, the dashboard, but I'm showing you the live dashboard of MFACT. And as I mentioned at the top, there's a navigation, typical sort of navigation for, you know, software now. if you're a new user to MFACT, you probably want to start out by creating something that identifies your facility. So in this case, we've created, again, some fictitious facility locations, and this is the kind of information that MFACT asks the user for about their particular locations. You might want to set up you might want to then, once you've created your facility and your various locations, you might want to begin to, if you're a company that has, say, this paint booth example, spray booth example, you might want to begin to think about defining your various materials. So you want to start creating a material list. Here's an example, again, of a material list for various paints and fuels used in this operation. Again, this is entirely fictitious data. So we've given the user some basic information on this type of type of material. I mentioned earlier that you can enable advanced fields, so you can see that when I click on this button, I get more fields available for tracking these various materials, and then all these various fields you can use to have information about the various materials that are used in this particular operation. Again, a sort of open comment field. If the material has any hazard warnings, if there's any concern about target organs related to that material. So there's a tremendous amount of information that a user can track on a particular material. Now, if I want to know more about a particular paint, if I click on that particular material, I can get into a lot of details about that material. So here's, again, the material type. It's a paint. This is the material that we purchased. It's a paint. You can, again, have this drop-down list for categorizing materials, and it comes pre-populated with this drop-down list. If this list of types of materials is, if you have some other type that you wanted to add, you can modify these drop-down lists. But here, this material, I want to know what's in this material. What are the constituents in this material? So I can track those particular constituents. And here's where the cast numbers for toluene and propane, in this case, are just being displayed. What's the amount of these chemicals? You can give a range or the average. Again, if you enable the advanced fields, you can provide a lot more detail about, again, these particular constituents. Here's the little yellow binoculars to look up cast numbers to incorporate into the tool, that the ones that come pre-populated or the ones you've added on your own. You can have synonyms for the material, so you can track it. If people typically call this paint product that you're tracking, this Kryolan Ultra Black 1602, you don't want to call it that. You want to call it black paint. The system enables you to use synonyms. And importantly, you need to sort of indicate so that, again, it's so that MFACT can do more mass balance type reports. You need to be able to indicate how you purchase this material. In this case, in this particular example, it's in 20-gallon containers. So that's how you define materials, and that's obviously very important function of MFACT, particularly for the kind of interest of, I think, a lot of the GC3 members. You want to define equipment. Again, you want to create a list of equipment that you as an MFACT user are wanting to track through the tool. In this case, as I mentioned, we've got sort of two pieces of equipment in this production or in this particular painting line. We've got a spray booth and a spray washer. And again, you can track some basic information about this function, or you can add additional information about this the equipment in your facility. You can have information on the location, when it was installed, is it continuing to be active, when you updated this information, that kind of thing. So you have to create your production unit list as well. So here is our production unit. We've got the painting line. Again, we need to define this painting line before we can link all the equipment in the painting line to it. And again, you can get more advanced fields. So we've defined materials and equipment. We also need to define our outputs. So we want to define our product list to get MFACT so we can create reports about our products. So again, you can track a lot of information and define all the different products. These are the products coming out of this spray booth production line. You've got a painted case, and these are the model numbers. These are the product names. Again, what do they weigh? And then you might want to update this. And if you wanted to look at costs associated with this product, again, there's various functions of simple categories for costs to track for these products. Again, you could also define not just the ultimate product, but intermediate products. And again, you could, so you've got, you know, this V100 painted case, and you can define some intermediate products. So there may be shelves involved in this case, in this example, that you're painting. And then, you know, you assemble the shelves into the larger case. That might be an intermediate product, and you may want to track those in addition to the larger product. Let's see. You've also got your non-product outputs, your air sources, your wastewater discharge, your waste lists. Again, you need to define what are the air emissions, what are the vents or the air releases, the points of release, and MFACT enables the user to define all of these various points of air emission releases. You can track them in input in your permit number if you have an air emissions permit. And again, there's a number of fields you can use MFACT to track, you know, all sorts of information about these air emissions. Similarly, you want to look at any details about a particular air release. We don't have any data in this, not much data in this particular example, but this is the details that one can track about particular air emission release points. Wastewater discharges, similarly, you obviously, you've got your receiving water, your discharge type, maybe your permit number. Again, this is all defining all of these parameters if you want to track them using MFACT. And finally, waste. In this example, these are the wastes that we defined for this particular spray booth example, defining which are hazardous, the various physical states of the waste. If we wanted to track costs, we can do that. We can define the various EPA codes for this waste. In this example, we're talking about D006 waste. So that's a particular example of how you can begin, again, to track information about your various wastes. And then regulations, this is where you create your permit list for the reminders function. And also so that if you want to track permits under your air emission releases, you can connect your permit number with those release points as well. And again, you can attach files. This is this little function here. If you wanted to attach a link to where this permit might exist on your desktop or your computer, so you could easily find it. This is giving you some sense of all of these sort of definitions that one needs to go through in order to sort of set up MFACT. You can see you can create a list of chemicals of concern. You can view a list or make a list. And again, if you want to highlight particular chemicals of concern that you know you're bringing into your facility in various materials, you can again highlight those lists so that you can create reports on those. Once you've created, you've defined all these different parameters that are appropriate for your facility, then you need to begin to link these parameters in terms of the equipment and all of the different products and air sources, emissions, air factors, discharges, water pollution sources associated with a particular piece of equipment. So if I decide I want to use MFAC to track some inputs and outputs and non-product outputs for just a simple piece of equipment, this is where you can begin to define those parameters. Or if I want to create a production unit and I want to link a series of equipment together, again, this is where you begin to link all of those things that you've defined into this production unit. So if I want to then begin to look at material purchased, once I've set up and defined and linked and everything that I'm interested in tracking and using MFAC for, then you begin to put in your inputs and output and generate your outputs. You can, MFAC is set up so that the user can use purchasing data if they can array it so that MFAC can read it digitally. So that, you know, as you're purchasing paint or filters or absorbents or whatever you're purchasing in this example, you can upload it to MFAC digitally without having to manually input the data yourself. Or you can enter it manually. You can enter use water usage in this particular example. This is an example of tracking water usage. And water is considered a material just like any other as far as MFAC is concerned. I think I'm going to stop here because I think we're coming up to the hour in a few minutes, and I just want to see if there are questions or comments or thoughts that anyone has.
Our time is quickly winding down, but if other people have questions that can be addressed now, we're not going to get cut off, so if the presenters can hang off line, if there are questions, you should feel free to go over for a few minutes.
Well, I do feel like I've been drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah, I know, it's a lot to take in.
So, I guess the better question is, after we get a chance to digest this for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
How do we follow up with questions?
You can email questions to me. You can, and I think that there, certainly there, as I showed you, there's a lot of resources online, but you can send an email to me, and I will direct your question if I can answer it, or to the right person. I'll make sure the right person can address your question. And my email address, which I think was on my last slide, is here, T. Goldberg, G-O-L-D-B-E-R-G. @nemoa.org.
Do we get to keep these slides?
The slides will be available on the GC3 website along with an audio of the webinar following the call.
I would like to suggest that to follow up, one thing to do is go to NEMOA's website, download MFAC, and start playing with it.
I will say this, we certainly would welcome you to do that. You would need to register online. But I did try to, I did include slides, essentially, of what I went through when I was showing you the tool live. So the slideshow does have pretty much everything I showed you when I was going through the tool live. So that's great, Jessica, and I guess you could send out a link to folks to make sure they have the link to where you have the slides posted.
Yes.
There are slides. This is what you're seeing now is the MFAC download registration webpage, and there is a more extensive slideshow of the training presentations we've done when we've done half day or 4 or 5 hour trainings. All the slides from those are available here as well in these presentations.
Terry, there was a question in the chat about obtaining the source code. For the moment, the source code is still under intellectual property rights. It's not open source.
It's not open source, right.
I guess at the end of 2010, I'm not quite sure exactly when it'll be released. But
yeah, it'll be released sometime in 2010. I'm not sure of the exact time. But We are intending to make the source code available at some point a year or so from now, and it's part of a contract with Sullivan to make that available. So it's not available currently. We have an agreement with the contractors to keep the source code private for a period of time, after which we will be able to make it available to users.
And our concept for putting it in the public domain is to limit commercial adaptations. People can enhance quality, enhance value, and then charge for that if they want to, but they cannot, will be prohibited from selling the basic tool as it is given to the public and charging for that. So we're hoping to keep it free.
Any other questions? I did try to cover a lot, and I'm sorry if I went too fast.
Oh, no. I think it's been very helpful to everyone on the line today.
We thank you very much for your presentation.
Yeah, if any of you are interested in having us come and train you on MFACT, say, in your company or for some, you know, in your state or wherever you're located, again, please just send me an email. We're very interested in finding these opportunities, particularly over the next 6 months. We do have some funding right now. Well, we're trying to get funding in place from EPA Region 2 to do some case studies with individual companies in New York and New Jersey. And if any of you have facilities in those states and you're interested in MFACT, we'd be very interested in talking to you about possibilities of working together on helping you use MFACT and working with you to see how you as a user use the tool and what you find useful in all of its functionality. That's something we'd be very interested in. And we're looking for companies to partner with on that kind of effort. So I want to thank Jessica. I think it's about 3 o'clock Eastern time now. So
it is about time to wrap up. And thank you, Terry and Rick, for a very informative presentation. And as was discussed earlier, there will be the slides posted on the GC3 website, and we can send out the address for that and an audio of the webinar today. So thanks again to everyone, and we will see you hopefully in March. Thank you.
Thanks for hosting.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jessica.